doing a mentorship on Friday of the leadership, and then, oh, you'll love this, on Saturday I'm working with a choir. Gus Vess. I mean, okay, I'm not teaching them how to sing, obviously, but I am going to talk about the magnificence of the Lord, and then on Sunday I'll be preaching out there. And I'm thinking, everywhere I go, I'm thinking, who's guiding your life? Who really is guiding your life? I'm going to do something a little different today. I didn't give my notes to anybody. You're not going to see anything on this screen. You're going to have your own Bibles. I know that's going to be a little bit of an opportunity. You're going to have to open your own Bible or turn on your phone or iPad or something. And I want you to look at, I'm going to be doing a little bit different today. I'm going to look read to you out of the New Living Translation. And it's because it's so radically different than what you normally think. When you think of what Christ has done, he didn't come to start a religion. He came, and there's that which is born of the flesh is flesh, that which is born of the spirit is spirit. And we had to have, when he said to Adam and Eve, on the day you eat of that, if you touch that and eat that tree, out of that tree, you will die. And spiritually you died. That's what happened. He was still alive. Everything's going on. They went on, but no awareness of God. And now the sin nature is in complete control. The body is there. They start having children. They didn't have to teach their children about throwing fits or tizzies or anything else. And as we see later, the story of Cain and Abel. Then we see the world going on. And what has happened with us is we're living in a time where in America we believe all the right things. We're very educated people. We can learn. We do lots of Bible studies. And we offer them all the time. But yet when we're doing the Bible study, we're not doing a study to get to know him, to seek him. We're getting to know the Word for the sake of knowing the Word. And there's awareness. So who's guiding us? So what happens then? A tribulation comes upon your life, a hard time, which you're guaranteed to have in this world. If you get any age on you at all, you're going to have some really rough days ahead, or you've already had them. And they're going to come. And if you don't know who's guiding your life, you go right back to your sinful nature. And in that sinful nature is great aggravation, great condemnation towards others and yourself. You're going to go back to drugs or sex, or you're going to go back to booze. You're going to go back to some entertainment. You're going to go back to food. You're going to do something to satisfy the ache of your soul. And so God has given us, when you think of this, he gives us a gift of faith. Why? It says we can't go to him on our own. We would not seek him. It says, there is none righteous, no, not one. No one seeks after God. No matter what we think we are, no matter how good we think we are, no one, he declares, no one, absolutely no one seeks me on their own. He comes and offers faith. And faith is this, not on righteous things you've done, but faith so that you would believe him. So that we would believe him so that what? We could receive the gift of grace. When you receive the gift of grace in Jesus Christ, he would tell Nicodemus, you must be born again. You must be born again. I'm not talking about, and Nicodemus, we know, didn't understand it. But you must have a new birth so that you can have a new will, so that you can have a new mind, so that you can have a new nature that will guide you along the journey that you're on this planet. So that you will understand the magnificence of your victory over your own sin. Is that way too cool? Be pretty quiet here. Okay. Now watch this. So I want to give this to you because it's a wonderful thing. And what happens is, you know, I'm sitting here thinking about life and my journey over my life. And I had a man come up to me last week and said, I was reading your book. And he said, I always thought I had an anger problem. He said, but you were really excessive. And I said, oh, yeah, I didn't think it was a super anger problem. I was a nice guy. At least that's what I thought. And unless you pressed the button the wrong way, and then there was some anger issues there. And I look back at this, and I'm thinking, okay, what happened to me? I was given a new nature. And something had to happen here. So now we're going to start. I'm taking you on a short journey. I wish I had more time to walk you through this, the long journey of my life, and how you can be led by God. How you know? How do you know when you're being led by the Lord? How do you know such freedom? Because most men and women don't feel like, they don't know if they're led. They don't know if what the will of God is. I'm not sure this is the will of God or not. I'm trying to discover. It's not difficult. I mean, this isn't rocket science. I mean, you can walk, when you're married, you know what the will of your wife is. I know what the will of my wife is. I don't wonder what her will is today. No, she's very expressive in it. I understand right away what it is. Oh, and I also understand right away when I'm not in accordance with her wishes and will. I have felt that in my life. It wasn't rocket science. I knew it. And it's even easier with the Lord. So now listen to these words. Therefore, dear brothers and sisters, you have no obligation to do what your sinful nature, here it is, what your sinful nature urges you to do. Now, the only way you can understand that is if you have a new nature. If you have received the grace that is in Jesus Christ, you have been given a new nature. He has overwhelmed you. He has anointed you with His Spirit. And you have a nature. You still have your sin nature. It's still there. You were born with it. It's in this body. This body will not inherit the kingdom of God, but you get the privilege of overpowering your own sin nature so that you can learn to live that the joy of the Lord becomes your strength. So, therefore, dear brothers and sisters, you have no obligation to do what your sinful nature urges you to do. For if you live by its dictates, now listen carefully, if you live by its dictates, what dictates? Your sinful nature's dictates, yours, not somebody else's. When you live by the dictates of your own sinful nature, it brings forth death. What do you mean? Death of your relationships. You don't feel alive. You can't figure out, where's God? What's in all of this? That's what you feel. It's not a loss of salvation. It's you're dying. Nothing's working for you. Nothing works. Your marriage can't work. You keep trying to figure out how to put it together. You can't find the joy of the Lord as your strength. Nothing's going down. So then he goes this way. For if you live by the dictates, you will die. But, here it is, the but, if through the power of the Spirit you put to death the deeds of your sinful nature, you will live. And here it is, for all, this is the only verse I'm going to actually work on, for all who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. You need to know who in the world you are. You've got to know. The journey I have been on all these years, when I was a very young man, I started on a journey calling men and women, men of God, women of God. And back in that day, nobody did that. Most of the preaching in church was you're a sinner and you're in a battle. You're always in a battle. You're always in a battle. I'm going to tell you, you're not in a battle. The Word of God says, He won the victory. He won the victory. He didn't say you're in a battle. He simply said, I've given you the power to put to death the deeds of your sinful nature. He didn't say, go on struggling with your addiction. He didn't say, oh, try to work at it. There's some behavior modification you can get to. No, he simply said, Gus, I've given you a new nature, a new will. And in this new nature and this new will, which you could have never gotten on your own, and I promise, I knew it immediately. He said, I've given you the power over your own sin, that you can learn to walk in the magnificence of a new nature. So what is it? See, the actual mark of a true daughter and son of God is that he or she has a will. And what their will is to seek the Father. They want the will of God. I'm going to talk about that because I realize that most of us, we can say we want the will of God, but we only want it if it's clarified. When I'm in tension and my marriage feels like hell and I have already made a decision that I want a divorce, I don't want God's will. I want my will. I'm going to go after my way. And I will hear this all the time in my office when they come for counseling. And I will give them the word and they go, yeah, but you don't know. Yeah, but you were raised in a different life. Yeah, but. And I look back and think, a man comes in with all kinds of addictions, from pornography to drunkenness to drugs, to anger. I've got a lot of men with anger coming in, and when you just don't. We sing a beautiful song here today. Is there any darkness that can overwhelm the grace of God? See, the magnificence of a faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God, and we know this. These are just words, but the reality is faith changes my will. A living faith will change me, and it did. So I want to look at this. Galatians 4:6 says, and because we are His children, God has sent His Spirit of His Son into our hearts. Because we're His children, He sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, prompting us to cry out, Abba, Father. Sometimes it's if we don't understand the magnificence of what God has done in a new nature, we don't cry out, Father. You know what we still think when we pray? Oh, God. Oh, God. We're praying, oh, God, oh, Lord. But we're not calling him Father yet. We don't get there. He says, I want you to understand there's a relationship, a magnificence in the relationship that I have with you. Nothing will ever separate you and me again. Nothing. All the sins have been washed away in the blood of my Son. There is a difference. I have brought my Spirit into you. I will never leave you. It will always be in you, and I intend that it will lead you. I promise you, what I started in you, I will continue until the very day you look at me face to face. There's a magnificence here. It should cause a joy. Galatians 5, 16 through 18. So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Let it. Now, the word let has to do with your will. You have to be willing to let the Holy Spirit have his way when you don't understand the way. When you don't know what's going on in your life. When you don't have a single answer for anything, you still have to will, which means praise to you, to the Lord. Let the Holy Spirit have his way. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. Well, that's good. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. What do you mean? The sinful nature wants to argue. The sinful nature wants its own way. The sinful nature, that's exactly what it's trying to do all the time. And we experience it. Come on, guys. I mean, when we get married, do we know what we're doing? I don't know if you did. I didn't have a clue. I told Karen today, I walked into a nightclub that day. I saw her across the room. She was probably 50, 70 feet across the room, sitting at a table with her girlfriend. I walked into that room, and instantly I was in love with her. I've never been in love with anybody. I mean, that's just the way I was. I've got a lot of friends, but I've never been. I don't even know what love was. I mean, I had no clue what it was. But when I walked into that nightclub that night, and I had just told God, here's what I told him. I said, I'm going to make a deal with you. Well, I knew I couldn't really make a deal because I thought, well, wait a minute. If he's really God, then he's going to know that I'm trying to say something. And I simply said, I'm out of Vietnam. I don't know what to do with my life. And I said, if you'll do something with my life. You see, what I was thinking is I'm an entrepreneur. I'm going to be a millionaire. I'm going to make lots of money, and I'm going to create different jobs and businesses. I got all these things in my mind, so I'm telling this to this God on our money. And I said, in God we trust. He's on our money. So he and I are on the right path here. You know, money, God, money, and God. And I said, now listen, God, here's the deal. If you'll do something with my life, I'd even be willing to get married. That was like, kill me. And I knew he knew that was the truth. I walked into that nightclub. There is Karen. She's across the way. Bam, I'm in love with her. The only way I knew what love was is something happened in me. I didn't know what it was love. I told the guy it must be love because my friend Rick standing with me. And I walked in, and all of a sudden my chest, I felt something in my chest. I go, whoop. I thought, what in the world? And then he said, what? I said, you see that blonde over there? He says, yeah. I said, I'm in love with her. He said, you can't love her. You don't even know who she is. Well, obviously it was love. I mean, we've been married over 48 years. I met her on January 16th. Asked her to marry me February 16th. Got married on May 16th. You know, we knew each other 4 months to the day. And I look back and I'm thinking, what I'm trying to tell you is, when we got married, I knew nothing about being a husband. I thought it would be the most wonderful grand journey. Everything's going to be smooth. I can't imagine an argument. There could be no possible tension. I mean, I'm the man of the home. Obviously, I'm going to lead this thing. I'm a Marine. I know exactly what to do at all times. I don't need her opinion because I know what to do. All you need to do is follow. Well, that didn't work. Okay? So listen to these things. The Spirit gives us the desires that are opposite of what the sinful nature desires. And that was the truth. When I committed to my life to Christ a year and a half after our marriage, all of a sudden a thought came to me. Never thought. I'm the head of the home, but what does that mean? How does it mean to love Karen as Christ loved the church? And I've been seeking that ever since. From the moment I came to know him, that one of the first verses, I don't know how God gave it to me. Maybe it's because of my attitude and I'm just this bloom like this. And he said, yes, you're the head of the home. But the head of the home means you have to love her like Christ loved the church. I thought, okay, what does that mean? Going after it. So I want to give you something. The influence of the Holy Spirit. The influence. When you see, it says it this way. For all who are led by the Spirit. The word for is a is a change here, right? Out of verse 13, when he basically says, "For if you follow the dictates of your own will, that nature you were born with, that one that throws fits, that gets so angry, it gets addicted to every kind of sin. If that's the nature you're going to continue to follow, if that's the one that you're going to let guide you in the midst of your life, it's going to ruin your day. Every time, it will ruin your day. It'll trash you. You will feel like trash. But if you let the Spirit control you in the midst of everyday life, the joy of the Lord becomes your strength, even when you don't know what in the world you're doing or how you're getting there or where you're going. See, that's the beauty of what it meant to be. So, and it's daily, it's hourly, it's a joy, it's choosing to do these things. In other words, the life of God that God promises is not a mere not, you know, dying or not going to hell. It is a life to live now. It's experienced now, that my wife could feel it now. Those who are being led by the Spirit are those who are, in Romans 8, just this. Romans 8:1, are in Jesus Christ, therefore there's no condemnation. In verse 4, they are living according to the Spirit and full of joy. In verse 9 and 10, the Spirit lives in them, and there is a difference, but something has to happen. So the question needs to be asked, okay, who's guiding your life? So, what does this mean to be led by the Spirit? What does that mean? I mean, it's a great word. Let the Spirit lead you. What does that mean? How do you get there? How do you know you're there? How do you know you're a son or daughter of the Lord? Because it means that you're being sanctified, you're becoming holy, cleanness. It means that you don't have condemnation anymore. One of the clear signs of holiness has been being established as a foundation of your life is you've stopped the condemnation about your own self. We sing these wonderful songs about our sins buried in the deepest sea that has no shore or no bottom. I mean, we love this. These are great songs, but it is the absolute truth. And when you have no condemnation, something begins to take place. It is the Holy Spirit maturing us. So, the Spirit influence is constant and it's never sporadic. It's never a little dabble do you. He didn't say, I'm going to stick it in you today, but I'm taking it away tomorrow. He gave me the Spirit so that I could live in the beauty of God's holiness right now, right where I live. It's constant because those who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons and the daughters of God. But when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all truth. But for Him to lead, He does more than just point the way. There's a joy. If you don't have the joy, if you're unwilling to praise, if you're unwilling to delight, I think of, what's salvation for? What does it really mean to be saved? I mean, why do you want to be saved? What's the point? I mean, why would anyone want to be saved? I mean, what does that even mean? The idea is saved from what? Saved from me. Saved from me. I want to be saved from me. My nature. The nature I was born with. Is it even possible to have a new nature? Is there anything, can God give me, a man born the way I was born, can He give a man like me a new nature? Can He save me from me? That's saved. And so I say, do you want to be saved? Are you tired of your critical attitude? Are you tired of condemnation? Would you like the joy of the Lord to become your strength? Well, when salvation comes, it's something beautiful. Do you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God? Do you believe that He died for you? Do you believe? Not only did He go down to hell, that must have been an experience. I mean, think of this. He surrenders to death. Think of the magnificence of this. He surrenders on the cross. He gives His life up. I mean, Father, forgive them. Even on the cross. You want to know what love looks like? That we just sang about it. On the cross, the ones that put Him there, He's, Father, I'm asking You to forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. They don't know what they're doing. They think they know what they're doing, but they don't. He goes down into hell, and 3 days later, darkness is all over. He surrenders. He becomes sin. He who knew no sin became sin so that we, you and me, would become the righteousness of God. The righteousness of God causes you to dance. The righteousness of God calls you to jump up and down. Woo! But if you're living by the dictates of your sinful nature, you never experience it. You're still living in fear because you think you're going to look like an idiot because you're happy. Because everybody else knows you're never happy. And what got into you? Did you get drunk? That's what they thought. Remember on the day when the Holy Spirit came? It's 9 in the morning, and they thought, man, these guys are all drunk. I love Peter. Hey, it's 9 in the morning. They're not drunk. Obviously, he was not a Marine, you know. Marines could never have said that. What I'm trying to say is the joy of the Lord, to be led by the Spirit. Who's guiding your life? Right now, you have to answer that. And if you answered that you've been living by the dictates of your sinful nature, do not go with condemnation on it. Rejoice that you know that so that you can repent. Father, somehow I got flipped into this. I got morphed into this, back into my old nature. I'm condemning myself. I go back to old habits to survive. I either eat too much, drink too much, do much porn, too much something. I'm in it all the time, trying to cover up this pain when I realize now I don't. I have a new will that has been given to me, something so magnificent. The Spirit's influence is always corrective without condemnation. He never condemns. He didn't condemn on the cross. He never condemns you. And if you feel it right now, that is not the Spirit of God. That is your old nature that you were born with. And it has no power over you if you have received Jesus Christ. There's an inclination here. Nothing can be the will of God that is contrary to the Word of God. There is nothing. Dr. Donald Barnhouse said, 90% of knowing the will of God consists in being willing to do the will of God before you know what it is. Are you willing to do the will of God before you know what it is? And that means sometimes we're just in a confused mess. Most of the things I wrote in that book shows how confused I am. The only thing is I willed on my own to worship in my confusion. When I had confusion, I offered confusion as worship. When I had tears, I offered tears as worship. What's going on in your life? I don't have a clue. Can you correct it? I don't think so. I don't even know what to correct. I don't even know what to do. That's the beauty of what God has done. Let me give you another. Every science has its own instrument. The geologist has his hammer. The biologist has a microscope. The astronomer has a telescope. And in the science of God, which they call theology, there is an instrument that belongs to Christianity. And if that instrument is not used, nothing ever happens. And the instrument is the will. That's why he says let. Are you willing to let? Are you willing to worship God right where you are in the situation you're in? Wherever you find yourself. Can you willingly rejoice in the Lord? Will you choose to rejoice in the Lord? Will you choose to delight right now, to delight yourself in the Lord? Right where you are, right at this moment, are you willing to rejoice in the Lord? See, look at it. Amen? See, man, don't you feel like dancing? I mean, don't you want to do something? I wake up like this. It is to surrender to the will of God before you know what is involved. All I know is there's no one like Him. I know that this is true. I'm not looking for a religion. I'm not looking for a behavior modification. I want to know the one who created heaven and earth. I want to know the one that knew my unformed substance. I want to know the one who numbered my days before yet there was one. I want to know the one who has guided me and protected me all the days of my life and knew that I would go through trouble after trouble after trouble and stayed right there with me when I felt I was in darkness. And yet I found that the Scripture says even the darkness is light unto Him. Because when you're willing, something changes in you forever. You don't know that it's going to change you to all of a sudden one day you're going to wake up and the joy of the Lord has become your strength. You're not saying it anymore. He has become your strength. To be led. Lead. It's a word in the Greek, ago, and it means to lead by laying hold of. It means to bring to a point of destination. It means to lead by accompanying. Someone accompanying you, leading you along, but they're accompanying you. They're not way out there. They're accompanying you. They're taking you down a beautiful road. In classical Greek, it was to become the author of all good. With all of this, we can begin to see the beauty of being led by the Holy Spirit. Philippians 1:6. And I am certain that God, who began a good work within you, will continue this work until it's finally finished on the day when Jesus Christ... Here it is. It's finished when? When the day Jesus Christ returns. Oh, men and women of God, there's no one like this. I'm going to give you an illustration. Sometimes you feel so condemned all the time. That's what I go. Everywhere I'm at, I'm going to go to these Ethiopians in Las Vegas. I thought, when you come to America, why did you pick Vegas? I'm thinking, okay, there's 5,000 of them there, 5,000 Ethiopians there, and I'm going to go there. But I'm thinking, let me give you an illustration. And you know you've been suffering. You know that sometimes you suffer from a bad attitude. You know that you're judgmental on others as well as yourself. You know at times you shouldn't be eating that, shouldn't be drinking that, shouldn't be watching that. But you just can't stop. Why? You have to let your will get involved with God's Word. The victory over your sin is the will, that God gave me a new will to transform my mind. Now think of this. And I want you to know how He does it. Every step that you take today, if you will repent of that and say, Father, I want Your will. Do whatever You want with me and I'll call it good. I don't care. I'm not giving You any assignments except Your will. And I'm going to tell you something will happen. It'll be life-changing. Thinking about this. When our kids were real small, it's an illustration about kids walking. And you remember when it was a long time ago when our kids were tiny, okay? Our youngest is going to be 47. But when they were small, and think of this, you're leading them by, imagine this, here's a mom and a dad. And the little boy is now just getting up and gets by the chair. Remember that was the first time when they crawl over and on their own, they stand up. Wasn't that a thrill? I mean, it was a thrill when they were just laying there. All of a sudden, they flipped themselves over. We thought, whoa, look at that. And we're like, whoa, making all these stupid sounds. We do. And all of a sudden, one day, and all of a sudden, we're holding them by the hand, and they're trying to, and they're walking a little bit, and get the camera out, and you get there, and you take a picture, and mom's holding little Joey's hand, and let's go. And he puts that right foot out. And we're like, yeah, woo! He just said, whoa! He's so excited because we're so excited. That's what happens. So he thinks, I'll move that right foot again. And off he goes. And what happens? You can't walk that way. Right foot, right foot, right foot, doesn't work. But he doesn't know that. And the moment he takes that next step, that right foot goes out again, down he goes. And all of a sudden, mom's grabbing him. Do you think dad is spanking him for that? Do you think mom's yelling at him? No, they're picking him up. Whoa, did you see that? Oh, man, that was so stinking cool. Do you not think God rejoices at every time and every step that your will gets involved to do the will of God? Do you think He's going to all of a sudden accuse you because you fell short one day? He knows you're on a journey. He says, I'm going to perfect it until the day you see My Son. I promise you, what I started in you, I'm going to perfect. Do you believe that? See, there's no one like the Lord. Every moment, quit condemning yourself. Get it. Who's guiding your life? The beauty of Jesus Christ. There is no one, absolutely no one like Him. If I'm a child of God and the Spirit of God is leading me, if He is directing me, how may I know that this is happening in me? How can I know? I'm going to give you five really quick things here. Number one, first, this is how I know. He determines my whole attitude of my life. I found out that no matter where I was, He determined my attitude. He said, have this attitude in yourself, which was also in My Son. So He begins to determine my attitude. I'm being led by the Spirit. I have a different attitude. And we have received God's Spirit, not the world's Spirit, so we can know the wonderful things God has freely given us. In Philippians chapter 2. In fact, let me just turn there. Let me go. Listen to these words. I'm going to ask you a question. That's what the Word of God does all the time anyway. Is there any encouragement from belonging to Christ? Is there any encouragement from belonging to Christ? Amen? Listen to these words. Does anybody have any comfort from His love? Wow. Any fellowship together in the Spirit? Then make me truly happy by agreeing wholeheartedly with each other. Stop condemning. Love one another. Work together with one mind and one purpose. Don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves. Don't look out only for your own interests, but look out for the interests of others too, and you must have the same attitude as that of Jesus Christ. That's the beauty. That's how I know. The first thing I know is something happened in me. All of a sudden, when we were first married, I had all kinds of weird things. I mean, we got married, and most of you know this, because if you read my book, you know this. When my wife and I got married, we were two reprobates that should have gone to hell in a handbasket. Okay? She had already been married and divorced. And when I met her in that nightclub and found her the next week, and I said, "You want to go out?" And she said, "I don't think you want to go out with me." And I thought I did some stuff. Was I rude or something? She said, "No, you wouldn't want to go out with me." And she said, "I've been married before." I said, "What? You've been married before?" I don't think I'd ever known a divorced person. And she looks at me and she says, I said, "How old are you?" She said, "I'm 21. I said, "You're 21 and you've already been married and divorced?" Jeez. Man, I didn't tell her she needed a savior or anything, but I mean, I thought, "Well, I still want to take you out." So off we went to the Whiskey a Go-Go. And that very night too, didn't we? But I look back, and what I'm trying to tell you is that something has to happen, a will in you. So you have to know, there's been an attitude change. You've got to know this. And remember this, when the attitude starts, the change starts. It's like that story I told you about the first step. You may put one right foot out after another and fall right on your face. But know this, if your will is involved to do the will of God, no matter what, He's applauding with you. Son, that was awesome. Daughter, whoo! Man, I'm telling you what, that is the way it happens. That's the way it happens. You know, one of these days you're going to be running down the road, and I can see it already. So then, secondly, the individual led by the Spirit realizes that the most important things in life are the things which are not seen. Not the ones that are seen. A lot of times we look at this, and I got so many stories to tell you. Fix your eyes on the Lord. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, and what is unseen is absolutely eternal. What does all this mean? Fix your eyes on the Lord. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, your strength. Love Him. Find out what it's like. Father, I don't know what's going on. I have not the idea, but I am here to praise You. I will. I choose. I let. I'm going there. This is where I'm living right now. In the midst of everything that goes on, we realize that being led by the Spirit is always building a relationship with God. And if it's building a relationship with God, it'll build a relationship with man, especially in my marriage. That's where it'll see the best. Thirdly, the individual led by the Spirit desires to live for God's glory. What does that mean? The Westminster Shorter Catechism says the chief end of man is to glorify God, and here it is, enjoy Him forever. How do you glorify God? Here's a simple question you just ask. Are you enjoying Him? Do you enjoy the Lord? Do you? Not somebody else. Do you? Would someone say when they're around you, you're a man, you're a woman, that you just enjoy. You have a joy about the Lord. What is this? Enjoy the Lord. That's what it means to give Him glory. Enjoy. He's not trying to make you just go out and do something. Fourthly, the individual led by the Spirit desires a greater knowledge that leads to a maturing relationship. Here's a question. Do you have the desire to know the Lord? Do you have a desire that when you open the Word of God, try this, when you open the Word of God, it's beautiful. This is a living Word. There's nothing like it. This is not a book. It was never intended to be a book. Open the Word of God, and when you read it out loud, and not read it for the sake of study, like an academic study, but as if you were having a conversation with somebody. God's conversation is here, and as you read it, discuss it with Him. Get to know Him. Talk out loud. I can't have a conversation with my wife when I'm not talking. There's no conversation. Didn't you hear what I was thinking? It doesn't work. Get into it. Know Him. Go after Him with the magnificence of all that He is. Listen, when the counselor comes, this is the Lord, Wait, what he said this. When the Counselor comes, who I will send from to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. In John 16, Christ said this way, he will bring glory to me. What the Spirit of God does is to make us seek the Lord, to know him and the Father, that we may come to an intimacy with him and knowledge and waking up and feeling his good pleasure. And, you know, I said, I have to tell you guys, I have I don't know what the Lord does. I want you to know that I have a love for the Lord. I just do. And I live in a gated community now. And it's for old people. And some of the old people are here. They're my neighbors now. Amen? Right, Trish? Gil? Sam? Sherry? Donna? You know, a lot of people there. And when I first went there, let me give you an idea. We sold our house in Arizona, and we used the money for the ministry. So now I don't have any money left. And my wife is so good about it. When we're finally broke again, she says, well, let's just pretend we're young marrieds. That's how we started. And I thought, cool, let's do that. As we go on, Jim had rent a house from him. So we rented a house up on a hill on 3.5 acres, loved it being up there. But it's time, he's going to sell that house, we need to move. Karen finds a deal and says, hey, I saw on TV that you can do a VA thing. Well, I'm qualified VA, and I thought, okay, we checked on it, got with Jeff and Betty, and sure enough, I'm qualified. They gave me this amount of number. Man, I'm qualified, and that means 100% loan, you can go in there. He starts showing me homes. And then when he starts showing me homes, first thing he does, he takes me to Traditions, a gated community with an HOA. I have a problem with HOAs. I've never had one before, but now I know I have a problem. And I get into that gated community. He shows me this house. It's been on the market for a year with no offers. We walk into the house. I don't like it at all. I don't like it at all. The backyard looks like a dump swamp, full of weeds, no good plants. Everything looks like it's trash. The inside is white, shiny paint. Man, oh, man, who would paint their house white, shiny paint? I mean, it doesn't even look like a dentist's office. It's worse. And so I said, no, not at all. So we're looking for the next 3 weeks all over the place. Then, Gus Best, typical of me, I have a dream. Because I'm like, Father, where am I supposed to go? Where have you chosen I'm supposed to go? Maybe I can leave Paso Robles, get out of California again. You know, I never wanted to be here anyway. I've been trying to get out of here forever since I got here. Get me out of here. So I have a dream. And in my dream, right about where, you wouldn't know where it is, but it's three houses down on, when you come into our neighborhood, you come to a stop sign, you look down, there's my house. And I'm on that street, I'm 2.5 houses down, I'm under a tree, and as I'm standing under this tree, the Lord is standing next to me, and he goes like this. He puts his, what's this hand? He put this left hand out, and he goes, there's your home. And he's pointing to that house in Traditions. And not only that, in front of the home was a white motorhome. So I told Karen, I said, hon, I woke up, we're supposed to go back and look at that house again. She said, what? She said, yeah, we're supposed to go back and look at that house again. And I said, the Lord told me that's our home. He said, there's your home. So we go back, call Jeff, go in there. I don't know what happened. We're all messed up. We walk in, the house is just as the same condition it's always been in. We walked in, and all of a sudden we liked it. We can fix the backyard. We can fix the paint. We can do this. We can do that. Ha! And when I told her, I said, not only that, because I told her about the house, I said, but there was a white motorhome in front of it. She goes, what? A white motorhome? I said, yeah, because we'd sold our motorhome. And, okay. The other day, I got, well, I have a motorhome now. I parked in front of the house, and the other day, I went, because if you saw where I parked it, it was the same. I could show you the picture. It's the very picture that the Lord, I had Karen come over and said, stand right here. She said, what? I said, you're standing where Jesus stood. Look, there was my motorhome, it's all white up here, parked in the very place. And I looked and I said, Father, I don't know how you pull this stuff off. I want you to know something. Who's guiding your life? Would you be willing today, not tomorrow, just today, would you be willing to let God do whatever he wants in you, and you'd call it good? Would you be willing to say to him, you can do whatever you want. I want your will. I am willing for your will completely. I have no idea. I don't care what it is. I don't even know what your will be. I know it'll be to conform me to Christ, but I am willing to let you guide my life. That's what it means. That's who, there's nothing like it. There's no one like him. It's a magnificence. I have no idea. In fact, fifthly, let me give you this. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of light and truth, and he will always, always leads in that direction. I'm going to read to you out of Galatians. But he always leads in that direction. There's never anything else. Anytime I'm not acting in that direction, I know it's not the Holy Spirit. So I get to repent. Listen to these words. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit and attitude in our lives. He produces a love. He produces, the next one is joy. I'm telling you, if you don't have joy, you can't make it. Every one of us in this room were created for joy. Sin took it away, and we're not used to it. It almost is fearful. It's almost fearful to be joyful. You're almost afraid to be just lighten up. But the love of God will always produce joy. And then he says, it will produce after that peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness, gentleness and self-control. There is no law against these things. In other words, there's no condemnation, there's no sin. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and the desires of their sinful nature. Do you see what I'm saying? Not somebody else's. Not quit judging somebody else. Their sinful passions, their sinful desires, nailed them to the cross. And they crucified their own sins there. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. Dear brothers and sisters, if another believer is overcome by sin, listen to this. If another believer is overcome by sin, you who are godly should gently and humbly help that person back onto the right path. Is that not just beautiful? That's like the little kid stumbling and stumbling. That's like Christ on the cross. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Who's guiding your life? Don't have one ounce of condemnation today. Therefore, there is now no condemnation those who are in Christ. You are magnificently been given a new nature. Get used to it. You'll like it. It's fun. There's no regret. There's not an ounce of stress in the new nature. There's not one moment of worry in the new nature because it's filled with praise. It doesn't mean that in this world there won't be times you're confused. I'm confused. I've been confused so many times. You know, I told my wife a couple years ago, I said, look at my face. I was talking about where we've been going and our finances. I said, look at my face. Are you seeing my face? She said, yeah. I said, you didn't marry a very brilliant man. See, that's the face of not man. That's a hell stupido right here. Right here. Any good things comes out of me, it is Christ and Christ alone. And I want you to know, God loves you on this day. Be overwhelmed with the beauty of holiness. Just ask, who's guiding your life? Can you rejoice before the Lord? Who's guiding your life today? Who do you want to guide your life today? Think of that. Are you ready to put something together to go shake the earth one more time for the glory of God and the souls of men? Amen? Well, let's have our worship team come back up, lead us in worship. Let's stand up and for the sake of our own will, let's sing to the glory of God. Amen? Let's sing together. Please stand with us.